God is good. In the good and the bad times, He's always good. I enjoyed that song very much. It is good to have Brother Wyatt with us this morning and his family. I'll have him introduce his family. And, I grew up in church and grew up in a Baptist church like this one who had missionaries in on a very consistent basis. I've seen lots and lots of presentations. And I'm glad today I can tell you that I still enjoy. I enjoy watching what God is doing in other places, and that we have a part in that as a church, and individually we have a part in spreading the gospel in Japan, and there will be fruit to our account. I'm telling you, one day we'll be in heaven, and there'll be people coming up to us. We'll be introduced to people who got saved who we've never met, and all because of our investment in missionaries. Our Bible colleges and our investments in church planters. And God is so good. And so, Brother Wyatt, you come and introduce your family and show your presentation, then we're going to have you speak. It's you.
Well, good morning. My name is Michael Wyatt. We have some family with us. If you got a prayer card, you probably noticed there's a child missing, but he's with the grandparents in San Angelo this morning. So that one is Jonah. He's not here, but my wife is here. Christy, if you'll stand and just, there you go, see? That's all right. Then my oldest son, Noah, is here. And Rachel, my daughter. And then we have another, the little guy next to me in the picture. He's in the parking lot or something, I don't know. He's not in here, that's all I know. So I do encourage you to get back to our table back there. We have the prayer cards. I like churches that pray for us. And I know this church prays for us because y'all told me. And so go get a new prayer card. They are free today only. I'm going to leave some here, and I don't know what's going to happen afterward. They may be scalped or whatever, but come get them from the source. Come get them for free. I encourage you to take one. I'm going to show my video. We have been in Japan for the last 2 years. We were here about three and a half years ago, and you guys kind of built something while I was gone. So this is looks awesome this morning. But we were in Japan for the last 2 years. We were assisting a veteran missionary there on the field while we were in language school, because me and my wife had the lovely privilege of beginning to learn Japanese. And if you know anything about Asian languages and Asian cultures, their languages are crazy. And so we were going to language school full time and also assisting a missionary that had started a church about 10 years ago. We were able to get involved in the children's ministries and the teaching English. And we also started an English service for the English community there. Our English service averaged about 15. We did that every Sunday afternoon. The last children's service we had at Christmas time, and just this past December, we had 47 children, which was double what we were expecting. And then our last service we had before we left the country, we had 45 in it. And so we were very excited. Now we're back. We're on furlough. We're raising some additional ministry support because, as you'll see in the video, we're going to a new place. We're going to a place a little bit further south, about an hour south, the city of Tosu. As far as I know, with the research that I've done, we are the first missionaries to ever be in the city. We will be establishing the first independent Baptist church in the city of Tosu. We're hoping to go back in January of 2015 and hit the ground running. One thing that's not in the video that, because I lay out the plans of what we're going to do. And by the way, can I just add real quickly that I can make plans all day long, but if I'm doing it on my ability, I'm not going to do anything. The plans that I mentioned in my video, those are going to be done by the grace of God. Those are going to be done by His power, not by anything I do, because you're going to find out when I start speaking, I'm not very bright. And you're going to be like, wow, this guy's in Japan? Yes, I am. But it's by the grace of God that I'm in Japan. So, but one thing that's not in there is we're going to have the opportunity now, because of a church that we were in just in last month, we're going to have the opportunity now to start a children's Bible club in Japan. The Japanese kids love clubs. Matter of fact, from junior high on up, they are always busy with clubs. It's next to impossible to get them into a church service because of all the club activities. So we're going to create a Bible club. Very similar to Patch the Pirate or Awana's or anything like that. We're going to start that. We're going to have memory verses, and they're going to work towards, you know, little goals and achievements and things because they love that stuff. And I love giving the Bible to them. And if we can do both at the same time, you know what? That's fine. So I encourage you guys, that's not in the video, but I will encourage you to pray for the Children's Club. And we will show a video, hopefully, right now. Thank you.
Hello, we're the Wyatt family, missionaries to Japan. After being on deputation for 2 years, it was time to say goodbye to our loved ones, pack our belongings, and travel the more than 6,000 miles to the land of the rising sun. We arrived in Japan on January 10, 2012, and began the process of adjusting to the food, culture, and language of our new home. While assisting Mike Winters at the Agape Baptist Church in Nakagawa, we got involved in the children's and youth ministries and also started an English worship service. Although ministry in Japan can be at times difficult, God blessed and we saw an average of 25 children at our special meetings and an average of 13 at the English services. Christy and I also held personal Bible studies and private English classes to help build relationships and witness to others. The people of Japan are in a pursuit of peace. However, true peace can only come from Jesus Christ. Japanese people mainly follow the two major religions of Shinto or Buddhism, while some people follow both. One Buddhist monk was quoted in an interview as saying, "We'll know if the road was correct when we arrive. That's how we Buddhists think. But since our road is never straight, the trip is always fun. It really doesn't matter where I'm going." Another Buddhist was quoted as saying, "Buddhism is like a recipe book. You play around with the recipe and create something. You decide what your soul wants to make." In the same interview, a Shinto priest said, "Japanese are like sponges. They absorb religions from various places and tweak them a little to become their own." Our desire is to tell them that it does matter where they go, and to tell them about the salvation that is offered through Jesus Christ. It is estimated that there are over 100,000 shrines in Japan, while there are very few churches that preach the gospel. One such area is the city of Tosu on the island of Kyushu. Home to over 70,000 people, there is little to no gospel witness in this area. It is believed that this is the least evangelized area in all of Japan. In 2013, we were able to distribute over 8,000 tracts in this area by going door to door. We plan to continue to distribute tracts and New Testaments in this way when we return. Our desire is to see every household in Tosu receive God's Word, and we plan to work towards this goal. When we return to Japan, we plan to relocate in Tosu and start with a group Bible study. Our goals also include weekly distribution of tracts and church literature, starting services on Sunday, beginning discipleship courses, and continuing the weekly group Bible study to reach more people. Time is running out for Japan. The country's population is declining at a rate of almost 1 million people per year. New estimates by the Japan Labor and Health Department show the current population of 127 million people falling to 87 million by the year 2060. We want to return to Japan and tell as many people as possible about Christ before it is eternally too late. But we need your help. Will you pray for the people of Japan? Will you pray for the missionaries in Japan? Will you give so that we can return to Japan? We would like to say thank you for praying, loving, and giving so that the Japanese people can hear about Jesus Christ.
mighty is the power of the cross.
I've seen that video a lot. I made it. But when I see them praying to dead gods, that's not going to do anything for them. That still gets me. And I put that in there just for that. So you will know that they do that. They'll line up for hours on end. Go throw some coins into a box. Clap their hands twice, bow, say their prayer, clap their hands again, and they think that they've been heard. But we know they haven't.
Amen.
And that's why we're going to go.
Amen.
We're going to go because they need to know about the one true God.
Amen.
They need to know about who they can pray to and who will hear them.
Amen. Right.
That's the whole reason why we're going. I was born and raised in Texas. I like Texas. Okay, Japan is a long way from Texas, and it's not Texas. It's not just like we decided, you know what, let's go live in Japan. No, we're going. Because that's where God's called us to go. And we can't go if it's not for churches like you. And so see how we're all important. I'm going to go, we're going to go, and by God's grace, we're going to share Christ with Japanese people. And like Pastor said, fruit that's going to abound to your account. We're important, but you know what? You guys are just as equally important. Because you guys are here. You guys are praying. You guys are giving. And I want to thank you for supporting us for the last couple of years. You guys have been faithful. You guys have been reading our prayer letters. You've been praying for us. And thank you. It means a lot to us. If you have your Bibles, let's open them. We're going to look at two verses this morning. And we're going to look at finishing our course. I'd like for you to turn to 2 Timothy first. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 6 and 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I'm still hearing pages rattling. I should make up some funny story. I don't have any. I've drawn a blank. Oh, well, let's just read God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Just last month, my church's First Baptist Church of Meadowview, Dr. R.D. Wade is the pastor. He's been there many years. Matter of fact, he's pretty much the only pastor I've ever known. And just last month, his wife of over 60 years passed away. And we went to the funeral, and person after person got up and said what a legacy Mrs. Wade had left. What a good, godly Christian woman she was. And I thought in my head at that time, Mrs. Wade finished her course. She finished her course. There was a lady in a church in Japan, she was giving her testimony. And she said, if I'm not remembered for anything in this world, other than one thing, I want it to be that I was a good, godly Christian woman. And that is something wonderful to strive for. But can I suggest to you tonight that, this morning, whatever time it is, that being able to pass on, which, by the way, in case you didn't know, I'm going to bring the room down just a tad, we're all going to die. Young people, old people, sorry, senior saints, I don't want to be disrespectful. Middle-aged people, we're all going to die at one point. And after we die, wouldn't it be a blessing at our funerals if someone stood up and said, you know what? He finished his course.
Yeah.
She finished her course. Not, you know, like I said, I grew up in Dallas and I grew up in a rough neighborhood. And there were a couple times growing up when somebody would get shot and killed. And the next night they'd be on the news, you know. Man, he was the greatest person I've ever known. He was such a nice person. He'd never hurt anybody. And then they're like, so-and-so was wanted on 18 charges of robbery. Not that kind, but actual finishing our course. We, in Japan, they do it differently. The whole burial and funeral and those kind of things. Japan, you know, we're 128 million people basically living in the state of California. That's about how big it is. And there's mountains all the way through. There's not a lot of land to be burying people. So most people in Japan are cremated. And there's like one family headstone. That's it. Here we have headstones. You know, we have, you know, so-and-so, and he was born here, he died here, and then we usually put something on there, an epitaph. Epitaph, I think that's what it's called. I don't know. See, I told you I wasn't smart. But wouldn't that make a good one? Here lies so-and-so. He finished his course. But how are we going to do that? And real quickly, I want to look at three things of how we can finish our course. And we're going to turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 to find it. But it's very important, as we're going to see, that we need Christians now more than ever to finish their course. In a world that we live in a country that we live in, can I just add that I was only gone for 2 years. I landed in December. I can't even recognize this country anymore. It's changed that much in 2 years. I have more religious freedom in Japan than I do here. There's something wrong with that picture. And what I dare say, and I'm a little hesitant to say, but there may be too many Christians today that have quit their course. But how are we going to do it? Hebrews chapter 12 tells us in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen. The first thing we need to look at this morning of how we're going to finish our course is we have to put aside the weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. Can I suggest to you this morning, if there is something standing between you and God, you're not going to finish your course. Sin, yes, we could all talk about sin this morning. If you're not living right, if you're in sin, you're not going to be able to finish your course. But can I say that things that can get between us doesn't necessarily always have to be a sin. How about a job? When I went to Bible college, I was already married. I had to support my family, my wife, and I went out and did applications everywhere in town. On my application, I specifically put, "I will not work Wednesdays and Sundays." Amen. Because those are church days. And I had, within a couple days, I had a person call me, and I went to the interview, and I'm like, "Wow, this job is perfect. Good money. The hours are great." And he's like, "Well, yeah, but we'd love to hire you, but you're going to have to work on Sunday." And I was faced with a decision. Do I take this job? And you know what? It's just Sunday. I can still go to church on Wednesday. Get the money that me and my wife need? Or do I tell him no? I told him no. I said, "I appreciate the offer, but I put on there, I can't work on Sunday." I went home and I was disappointed, and I was like, "Well, I just gave up the perfect job," because in my eyes it was. But then the next day, I got a call of that was God's perfect job. Was it the same amount of money? No, it wasn't. But you know what? God provided. And I was off on Sundays and Wednesdays. But if something like a job, which is we all should work, amen? No freeloaders. Okay, I'm a missionary. I'm not a moochinary. We should work. There's nothing wrong with a job, but if the job is getting between you and what you're supposed to do for Christ, it's a problem. Hobbies. I'm not going to dwell much on this, but you know where my father-in-law is from. My father-in-law lives. He's a pastor in West Texas, and every fall, the men get restless. Because it's deer season. I understand. That's what I'm telling you. Okay? There is nothing wrong with deer hunting. I love deer jerky, deer venison, whatever you eat. Bring it to me. But in West Texas, I know for a fact that the first Sunday of deer season, there are hardly any men in church. Because they're out shooting deer. That same deer is going to be there on Saturday. Matter of fact, you're getting it a day early. Go Saturday, get it before the other Christians get there. I like stuff. I like playing basketball. I like reading. But if I'm not careful, that hobby is going to get in between me and God. I'm going to go out and I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be like, you know what? I should probably study. But you know what? I just want to go out and shoot some hoops. And how easy it is when you get into that mind frame just to be like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to go shoot some hoops. I can do that later. That's a problem. Christians can't finish their course if we're letting stuff get in between us all the time. We have to get rid of the weights that are so easily besetting us. Now, my son is 16 years old. He's in shape. He's in, you know, really good that way. I'm not so much. And if me and Noah went out to the parking lot, I said, everybody, let's go out to the parking lot. Me and my son Noah are going to race. Everybody's going to be like, Noah's going to clobber his dad. And he probably would. But you know what? Noah has to carry Rachel, my daughter, on his back. Now who's going to win? You can't run a race if you're weighted down. If you've got burdens in your life, give them to God. He'll take care of them. You can't do everything you can do if you're carrying a weight on your back. Christ says, come unto me, all ye that are burdened. If we've got burdens, let's just give them to God. Let Him deal with it. He will. But we have to. The army of Alexander the Great conquered one country after another. When they approached Persia, Alexander was worried. Why was he worried? Because he realized that his soldiers had gathered so much spoil from other conquests that they could no longer move quickly and fight skillfully. They were so weighted down with all their loot that Alexander the Great was like, we are in trouble. Here comes Persia. So he commanded the soldiers bring the spoil and pile it up in front. And in front of them, he set it all on fire. The men complained. But when they reached Persia, it was as if, and this is a history book, but it was as if they had wings of a bird. They were able to move quickly and fight skillfully and defeat the army of Persia. When you got to get rid of something in your life and you set it on fire, and you're sitting there, oh, that's what, I love doing that. And it's shocking at first, but then you realize, you know what? I can serve God now. Get that out of the way. I got all kinds of hang-ups and worries and all that kind of stuff. I'm a worry wart. I come by it honestly. I'm a fifth generation worry wart. And eventually I'm still working on it, but I'm coming to the point now, just now in my life, and I've been a Christian forever. Just let God have that. You know what? God will take care of that. I don't know what's going to happen when I get to Japan next year, but you know what? God does. There's no point sitting here worrying about it. We got to get rid of that stuff, because when we sit there and worry about something, we're not doing what God wants us to do. We're on the sideline saying, well, I'd really love to talk to them about Jesus, but I don't know what they're going to say to me, or throw something at me, or they're going to, you know. Don't worry about it. Just do it. We got to get rid of it. The second thing is, we have to continue to run. We have to keep running. It says right there, let us continue to run. With patience. Ooh. I won't get on that one. Because I'm not a very patient man. My mom's side, I'm the worrywart. My father's side, I'm the non-patient man. I got all kinds of bonuses. But I'm not a patient man. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's something we have to do every day. Even on days when we don't feel like it. Today was Sunday. It's God's day. You're going to get to go to church. We get all pumped up. We're excited about church. Today's a good day. Tomorrow's Monday. It may not be a good day. But you know what? Tomorrow we still have to run our race. Even more so tomorrow, because we'll be, if you're in a job, if you're with secular people, you have to run your race. People are watching. We have to keep running. When I went to Japan 2 years ago, there's this little thing. I'll show you like the behind the scenes of deputation, the life of a missionary. We travel a lot. We eat out a lot. We eat at all crazy hours. And as a result, a lot of times missionaries kind of get a little hefty. When I started deputation, I was like 150. By the time I got to Japan, I was about 200. God fed me good. Churches fed me good. And I got to Japan and I started having some health problems. I had kidney stones and all this stuff. I said, this is crazy. I need to lose some of this weight. So I started exercising. Started running. Okay, I started, the Japanese diet's different anyway. It's a lot of vegetables and fish and stuff like that. And it just, wasted away. But when I started running, it wasn't I went out, I decided to run. You know what, I'm going to go run. And then I just ran, 10 kilometers. No. I ran out there, after about half a block, I thought I was going to die. Amen. I was doubled over on my knees. I'm like, oh, Lord, I know you didn't bring me here to Japan to kill me. Did you? And it was rough. But the next day, I went out and did it again. And the next day, and the week, and the month, and within a couple months, I was running 10 kilometers nonstop. But did I get there by doing it once and quitting? No, I had to do it every day. I had to continue to run. And just in December, I lost like 51 pounds in 2 years. Went to the doctor last week. I've gained 27 since I've been back. I got to start running again. But Texas has got big portions, man. You ask for a chicken fried steak, you get a plate. It's the whole plate. I'm like, okay, where's the vegetables? Oh, honey, they're coming on another plate. Okay. But we have to keep running. Okay, today, and you probably know people, that quit running. They've stopped their race. They've quit for whatever reason. And I think that's what's wrong with a lot of churches today. They're full of people that quit. No, it's too hard now. I got this to do. I got that to do. If we're going to be Christians that finish our course, we have to keep running. We have to get rid of the things that's going to weigh us down. We have to keep running. The last thing we have to do, I love this one. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We got to, folks. If you guys keep your eyes on me in Japan, I'm going to let you down. Not that I'm going to do it on purpose, but because I'm human. If we keep our eyes on each other, we're going to let each other down. We're not going to mean to, I don't think. I wouldn't think anybody in here would be like, God bless you, brother. You know what? I'm going to let you down next week. We're not going to do that, but it's just going to happen. We need to keep our eyes on the one who's never going to let us down. The one who's always going to provide for us. The one who is always going to be there for us. That's Jesus. He's the one. I'm going to finish with a story about MJ. MJ was a Japanese man I met 2 years ago. And he wanted English classes. I'm like, okay, sure. So I started teaching him English. Once a week we'd get together. And every week, hey MJ, why don't you come to church? Let's come to church this Sunday. And he'd say, no, I'm not going to come to church. See, in Japan, most men, they work Monday through Saturday. And then Sunday is their day off. That's when they do all the family stuff. In fact, there's a term for it in Japan. It's called family service. Because that's a whole other sermon. The Japanese family is so fractured and messed up that the man of the house feels like it's a duty once a week, his family service, to spend time with his family. And what a perfect opportunity, what a perfect excuse to put that, say, I can't come to church on Sunday, I'm doing my family service. But every week I'd ask him. Then I kind of got smart and I started putting in, with his English teaching, because we were using like a textbook, I would start putting in Bible verses. I'm like, hey, MJ, let's read this verse in the Japanese Bible and then let's read it in my Bible. We'll talk about English that way. And I would ask him week after week. And you know what? And if you've witnessed to somebody for a long time and you don't see much responses, you probably understand what I'm saying when I really thought, what's the purpose? I'm going to ask him on Tuesday. He's going to tell me no, and we'll just move on to I have a dog. This is what we were learning about. And it was like that all the way till December. And the last time we met in December, just a few months ago, we were sitting across from the table, and he looked at me and he said, hey, are you gonna come back? I said, well, yeah, I'm going to come back. He shook his head, no, I don't think you will. He's like, you'll go back to America, and, you know, the American dream is still there, and, you know, you're not going to want to leave. And I said, yeah, MJ, I'm coming back. I said, I got to see you in church, man. And he kind of laughed for a minute, and then he looked at me and he said, well, he said, when you do come back, I think I might be interested in coming to your church. And at that moment, I'm like, okay, furlough's canceled. But if I don't keep running, I don't get to tell MJ about Christ. And ministry in Japan is so difficult. Okay, I don't want to say I get jealous, but sometimes I hear and I read missionary letters and they have a 30-minute service and 3,000 get saved or whatever. And I'm like, oh man, that would be so awesome. In the 2 years we were in Japan, we saw 2 come to Christ. That's good. That's worth it. But we can get frustrated and we could be like, you know what? Let's go somewhere where they're going to appreciate us. Let's go somewhere where we're going to get 300 saved in the church service. But you know what? If God can do that in the Philippines or Korea or Mexico or China, God can do that in Japan. It's not like God like skips over to get to the, you know, other Asian countries. He's still God in Japan. It's just, we need to take it. We need to continue to run. I need you in this auditorium this morning to continue running. Continue giving to missions. Continue praying for us. I'm going to close with a question. Are you running? Have you stopped running? Is there something that's between you and God? Maybe there's somebody this morning that can say, you know what, I'm not even running because I'm not even a Christian. I've never accepted Christ as Savior. Today's a good day to start running. Whatever your burden is, God can take care of it. But we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us, God. Thank you for the blessings that you give us each and every day, Lord. I thank you for this church. I thank you for Pastor Crawford, Lord, and their willingness, Lord, to support missionaries and so that every creature around the world, Lord, can hear your name. Lord, now I pray that you'd be with this time of prayer, God, as Pastor Crawford takes over, God, that you would speak to those that, Lord, need to come back to you, or, Lord, that they just need encouragement. God, I pray that you'd encourage them. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your Son. We pray all these things in your name.